Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Abigail Johnson.
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
Welcome to Education America, where we're working to save the classroom so that we can save the country. K-12 education is the playing field where the battle is on for the future of our country. And as the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, succinctly stated, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. And how true it is.
All right. So let's start girding our loins. We're moving in with Mr. Alvin Louie of Courage is a Habit this evening. And, you know, so many parents will ask Rebecca and I, but what do I do? Maybe I can't homeschool. Maybe there aren't any great private schools that match my values in my area. So my kids are in an environment that is not teaching, you know, our values at home. What do I do? The person to talk to about this is Mr. Alvin Louie of Courage is a Habit. So, Alvin, thank you so much for being with us again tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I had a great conversation with you all last time, so I'm happy to be back and giving parents some really great tools as the school kicks off.
Yeah, and this is perfect timing. That is exactly right. And we do encourage all our listeners to go to your website, Courage is a Habit. There are so many excellent resources on this website, and we're going to be talking about just some of them today, but we're just going to be really hitting the tip of the iceberg. So we encourage our listeners to come to your website. So Alvin, we wanted to start by talking about one of the tools that you have provided for your families, or for our families, called Beyond the Workplace, A Parent's Guide, Recognizing Sexual Harassment at School. Can you start by just giving us a little bit of an overview of even just that title? You know, what angle are you taking in this tool for parents?
Well, first of all, I'm super excited to share this tool because we just released it literally 2 days ago.
And wow. Yes. We're so lucky. We're on the cutting edge here.
You are. This is the first time I've publicly talked about it because we just released it literally 2 days ago. And so we've gotten it out to our channels and everything, but I've hadn't got on and talked about it. So this is great. And so
good.
I want every parent to think about this. And again, I'm talking to parents at work, right? Because, you know, if you're not homeschooling your child, chances are it's because both parents work, right?
Yes.
Or maybe you're a single parent or whatnot, but you work. Mm-hmm. And I want every parent to think about this. Okay, here's a scenario. A lot of mom or dads, they'll go, I don't want, my kids are being exposed to porn. They're getting, with all the gender ideology, they're made to use pronouns. They have to listen to the teacher talk about their sexuality and on and on. So they drive the child to school, they drop them off, and they go, I wish I can homeschool them. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this, right?
Yes.
Then the parent drives 30 minutes to their office. And if any of those things that their child is facing happen to them at work, they wouldn't know what to do about it. It's called HR policies. It's called harassment policies. It's called sexual harassment policies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine for a moment – imagine for a moment if HR personnel responded to parents the way schools respond to parents. So here's a scenario. Paul at work brings in one of the many pornographic books that children are seeing at school, genderqueer, this book is gay, on and on. Imagine if this guy at someone's work brought a few of those books in, placed it in conference room A, and Mary goes, oh my God, Paul brought in porn, goes sits with HR and go, I feel very uncomfortable. There's pornography in the conference room A. Imagine if HR said, well, if you don't like it, don't read it then. Well, you probably see worse on the internet.
Yes.
Parents here. Think about how ridiculous that would be. That would never happen, right?
Right.
So beyond the workplace, the tool really makes it, it gives parents, it puts the offense back in the parents' hands.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you know what to do because your work has taught you what to do, because every single day your children are being either sexually harassed or harassed at school.
Mm-hmm.
And so beyond the workplace teaches parents with the letter of the law what harassment and sexual harassment is. And we pull language right from the .govs.
Yes.
Right from right from the Title VII, Civil Rights Act of 1964. We went to a major law firm that deals with just HR. It's called HG.org. It just deals with this type of environment in the workplace. And you'll find that we teach parents, take information you've learned from your own HR training and repurpose it to protect your children at school.
Mm, that is so good.
Yep.
You know, I'm sitting here looking at this right now, the very first page, where you're doing that within the tool, teaching people what is the definition of sexual harassment. And right here it says, sexual harassment as defined by the Society for Human Resource Management is unwelcomed sexual conduct that is persistent or offensive. And sexual harassment creates a hostile work environment and is in direct violation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It should be immediately handled and resolved by human resources. And then you've got the kind of the parallels of some of the information that you've gathered from those websites. And I think this is such a good point, because why is it that, I mean, good for you to draw this analogy, because it certainly hasn't crossed my mind that, you know, in a workplace, this would be completely unacceptable, but somehow it's acceptable to young children, impressionable children. So, you know, interesting, when you reached out, I'm just curious, when you reached out to that HR law firm, did they know what you were asking them these questions for, what the reasoning was?
No.
Okay, that's really interesting.
I just said, you know, kind of help me understand what it is. And they said, this is what it is. And again, when you read this, what you just read out, isn't that what our children goes through?
Yes.
Unwelcome sexual conduct that's persistent, offensive. Pronouns, gender, surveys. When was the last time you gave a blowjob? When was the last time you had sex? Yeah. Imagine if you, okay, you're women. Imagine you if you work in a corporate environment. Imagine if someone gave you that survey at work.
Yeah.
Walked into your cube and said, here, tell me, when was the last time you had oral sex?
Right.
This guy would be gone by lunch.
Yes, well,
and I think that this is the point that, Alvin, I, in all honesty, and I want to give full credit to all the other organizations that are doing such good work, but yours is the only one I've seen that goes on offense like this, where it's time to take the proverbial, you know, being metaphorical here, everyone, the gloves off and realize, oh, maybe they really don't have my child's best interest at heart.
Yeah.
Maybe when you're thumbing through these books, I mean, I've seen some of them, and I, as a married person with children, cover my eyes. Oh, my gosh, I don't want to see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet somehow we're tiptoeing, and poor parents are tiptoeing around trying to give people who are teaching this the benefit of the doubt. I'm sorry, but, you know, absolutely. Let's teach parents, hey, no, this is sexual harassment. And stand up for your kids.
You would not give a gentleman at work the benefit of the doubt.
No.
If he brought in genderqueer, if he brought in this book is gay, if he genderqueer introduces children to Grindr.
Ugh.
Grindr, right? Genderqueer introduces children to kink.com. This book is gay introduces kids to Grindr.
Unbelievable.
A sex app.
I was going to say, I don't even know what that is.
So now I'm getting an education myself.
But it's just, it's so important for parents to take away. We've been playing defense for a really long time. We want to be the nicest people in the room. You know, Rebecca and I, our show is based out of Minnesota. You know, unfortunately, Minnesota is known for what's called Minnesota nice. And I want, I don't know how nice it really is, but it's basically, we're very passive aggressive people. We're, you know, and it is time to recognize that your children are being sexually harassed at school.
They are.
Act accordingly.
It's sexual harassment and harassment. Let's take the sexual harassment. Let's take outside of sexual harassment. In K through 12, in all across the country, in Minnesota, all across the schools, they have things called like affinity groups, which is basically just critical race theory. They break kids up by race. Okay. They have clubs that isolate race and things like that. Again, here's a scenario. Imagine if somebody started a affinity group at work and is segregating groups by race at the lunchroom. And this Black Lives Matter, this critical race theory woman sent out an email to everybody and say, I started an affinity group at the lunch group. Everyone's going to be separated. No white people allowed, which is what they say in school. No white kids allowed here. Imagine if somebody complained to HR and HR says, oh, you're just upholding white supremacy. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
That would never happen, right? The things that your children are facing, both from a sexual harassment and a race-based harassment, equity and white privilege this and white supremacy that, would never be tolerated at work. They would never tolerate, no matter how liberal the company is, if somebody files something at work, you've got to take the person that files it seriously. They wouldn't brush them off like they'd brush off parents.
Right.
So here's a tip I want to get parents off of. Obviously, I want parents to download it. It'll be in your show notes.
Yep.
But one thing I want to just give the tip, on the interview here is, if your child is exposed to any of this, and they are, here are the three words I want parents to use when they send the email to the principal or the superintendent. They can talk about the situation. My daughter's in the third grade. The teacher did this, shared this book, talked about her sexuality. Here's the three words. You don't have to use all three, but use at least two. Hostile environment.
Yep.
Hostile education environment. Okay, hostile. Intimidation. So maybe she goes, I don't want to use pronouns. And then she got harassed by other kids or by the teacher. Well, why don't you want to use pronouns? Do you want other kids to feel, right? Intimidation and harassment or sexual harassment. Those are the three words. Hostile, intimidation, harassment. Those are the three words that every HR company teaches employees. Every employee, you all know, anybody listening to this wonderful show that works in any corporation, no matter how big or small, at least once a year, you have to go through harassment and sexual harassment training. You go online, you answer the questions. It usually takes you about an hour, hour and a half. You have to sign the handbook to say you read it. So instead of you blowing through those trainings, I want parents this year, when your work gives you that training, I want you to pay very close attention to what cannot happen to you and what would happen to the person that did this to you. I want you to take those notes and repurpose that to protect your children when it happens to your children.
That is such good advice. Such incredibly good advice. Yeah, you have really done an excellent job of drawing that comparison. Do you want to share, you share a couple other scenarios in this Beyond the Workplace Parents Guide. Why don't you share a couple more scenarios? Because these are great examples, and I think they help people who are just listening right now to know even more about what you're talking.
Great. Let's do this one. Katie, who is really Ken, walks up to his, her, or their coworkers daily to discuss his gender and sexuality. He needs them to validate him. He needs to come out to them. He must be seen and heard at all times. Sounds like a teacher, right? Teachers do this. Natasha, coworker, feels this takes up valuable work-related time. If she says this to a HR personnel, they'll say, we'll speak to Katie, Ken, to ensure he limits sharing personal details during company time. At school, they'll say, why are you such a bigot, Natasha? It's just about inclusion.
Oh, no, it's even better than that. It's we'll obfuscate teaching math or science or reading, and we're going to instead teach about this solely.
We're going to have a conversation about this. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
So maybe another person, Janet, she feels uncomfortable discussing Katie Ken's sexuality every day. She goes to HR and says, hey, I'm here to work. This is uncomfortable for me. I don't want to talk about her sexuality. HR will say, we've strongly reminded Katie of our sexual harassment policies. We'll work with her. Mm-hmm. At school, they'll say, do you realize Katie might commit suicide because you're transphobic?
Yeah. Yes.
And it's your fault.
It's your fault. They would no workplace would say this to an employee when an employee goes, I don't want to talk about someone's sexuality every day.
Yeah.
But think about this. These are adults.
Yes.
The company spends millions of dollars in HR training so that the adults feel protected. Mm-hmm. But children, we do not offer any of these protections, and they're captive audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think about how that makes sense.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that, that we have all this training for the parents to protect themselves at work, but when they drop the kids off to school, nobody says, you're harassing my children in a way that I would never have to tolerate in my place of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
but
even
guess what, though, parents? Guess what, though? The same laws that are protecting you at your work still protects your children, but parents don't leverage it. And
yes,
that's what we're trying to teach them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and so if you followed, listeners, I know most of you maybe have followed the swimming incidences with Riley Gaines and the uncomfortable situation she was in with changing in front of a man in her locker room. And just very recently, one of the responses from a very public figure to her discussing her deep discomfort with being forced to change in front of a man, they basically said, well, then she should have really been exposed at a younger age to male genitalia. Yeah. That would have alleviated her discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I just thought,
are you kidding? What they're doing with kids?
I'm sorry, parents, is anyone listening to this? Is anyone? Mm-hmm. Anyone listening to this?
Professor. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was a professor out of London or Britain that said that.
Really?
And she said she should have been exposed earlier. Mm-hmm. So it's basically encouraging pedophilia.
Yes.
What's interesting about what I'm glad you mentioned that, because in Beyond the Workplace, we actually link to that story where the swimmer, one of Riley Gaines's teammates, she testified in Congress and said when they were uncomfortable, they were made to go to counseling.
Yes, yes.
Not him, not the man in the locker room, but the women had to go to counseling. So at work, you cannot get retaliated against. In fact, one of the things that we wrote out, one of the things that we found out from the law firms and things is that, and I'll read it to you, this is right from the law firm. If someone was sexually harassed at work, they must file a formal complaint. It can be difficult to do so because of fears of repercussions or wrongful termination. Mm-hmm. But it is a necessary step in ensuring that the harasser faces consequences. Let me ask you, how many times, we get this asked this all week, every week, how many times did parents say, if I speak up or if I turn in this opt-out form, what if they take it out on my child?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, that is their number one concern.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Guess what? Now you have a big lawsuit because now it's retaliation.
Yep.
It's on top of the harassment, and now it's retaliation. And HR knows this. This is why when they train employees, they go, even if you worry about retaliation, report it, because now this is a second crime.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And so the answer to that, parents, if you worry about retaliation, then you log it, you email and say, my child's been retaliated against. It's intimidating. It's a hostile environment. Now the schools have done two crimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Use your training. And then the last thing, and then we can kind of move on to the next tool about what you can teach your children at home.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, by the way, in Beyond the Workplace, we also give you some tips on how to tell your child to respond. And we can talk about that during the next item too. But at the very end, here's what we did. At the very end of Beyond the Workplace, we teach parents how to file a civil rights complaint with the Department of Justice. Now, here's what something most parents and most people don't know. If you file a civil rights complaint online, you do it right online, mm-hmm. the Department of Justice must investigate every submission.
Hmm. I didn't know that either.
Most people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might wondering, well, if they get millions of submissions, how will they investigate all this? Well, it might take a while, but here's the thing. They don't get millions because people don't even know you can do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet that's true.
So if they retaliate against your child after you turn in an opt-out form or you speak out about something, you fill one of these out and we walk you through how to do it. It's super easy, super simple. We walk you through how to do it. And that's the way you, and then they have to notify the school a civil rights complaint have been submitted against you. We will be, and then we will be in touch. And that will back the school off because they never get hit with this because parents don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond the workplace really is about putting the offense back in the parents' hands. Mm-hmm. That's really what it's about.
So excellent. This is just outstanding information. And it's the first time I have ever heard anybody, to Abigail's point, we've talked about this topic ad nauseum on this mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. this is the first time we've ever heard of a real action-oriented, really logical way to combat this in schools. And it'll be interesting to see as you spread this around and parents mm-hmm. implement this, whether we have some lawsuits that take place that, hey, my child was being sexually harassed at school, and here's my evidence. And then this mm-hmm. is what happened when she tried to speak out. Now she was actually being retaliated against. And, right. Will the courts, I hope the courts will uphold the rights of these children. And
the key to that lawsuit is multiple parents sending emails using words like intimidation, hostile,
yes.
and harassment.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and intimidation, hostile. Those words, if you get, basically in a workplace, if you have a bunch of women that submit this about Paul bringing in porn in conference room A, if the workplace doesn't suspend him or fire him, that's the class action lawsuit, because now you've got all these women submitting the same thing and the workplace didn't do something about Paul.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the same thing with the schools. If you've got, 20 or 50 parents submitting hostile, intimidation, harassment, if they're using those kind of words and they don't get rid of that teacher, they don't get rid of that school counselor, they don't stop this, now is when the lawsuits hurt.
Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage every parent with this, every parent, if you're listening and you're preparing for this school year, anything of this nature, it's great to have face-to-face discussions. However, putting things in writing is better.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Put everything in an email. Make sure that you have saved copies of those emails. I mean, obviously, if you have it, normal email, you're always going to have it in your drafts, in your sent folder. Put even if you have, if you have a face-to-face discussion, send a follow-up. Send a follow-up email to that teacher saying, "Hey, so and so, I know that we met earlier today. Thanks so much for your time. I'd love to just here's a brief recap." Of our conversation. Please reach out if you have any, points that you feel like I'm misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And put that in an email as well, because that will be what courts will look at.
Yeah.
That's what is going to get FOIA'd. That's what's going to get pulled during lawsuits, the mm-hmm. open records request.
Yeah.
The lawyers will pull them.
Yeah.
So it's Mr. Principal, Mr. Superintendent, Ms. Superintendent, thank you for your time today. I brought to your attention, just to recap, I brought to your attention that my child was being harassed by this teacher, by XXX, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
She felt intimidated. I share my concern. You understood my concern. And the next step, you're going to look into this and get back to me by this time.
Mm-hmm.
That's damaging, because now you've put him in a corner where if he doesn't do something about it, now...
Yes, give them an action item with a timeline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Don't just let them. Well, thank you for bringing us to attention. We'll look into it. No. It's got to be some, right?
When are you going to look into it?
When are you going to look into it? Is it by Wednesday? Is it by Thursday? That kind of thing. And then they know that you're basically setting them up for a lawsuit, right? And this is why you got to use those words. Again, this is not a courage as a habit tip. These are HR. These are government. This is what Title VII Civil Rights Act of 1964. That's what all this is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So good. So let's switch gears. Yeah,
so
we only have 4 minutes left. So
let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do the four. Okay. So here's what I want to share. We can continue on, right, the next episode as well.
Yep.
But what I want to give parents internally is this, okay? Something we call stranger danger.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a four strategies that we provide for parents that they can change and modify based on their family values, okay, and the age of the child. So here are the four strategies. Again, you got to modify it to your family values, but we start you off with these four strategies where you teach your child to protect themselves when they're at school away from you. Number one, establish a circle of trust. The younger the child, the smaller the circle.
Yeah.
Circle of trust means that these are the people that you talk to that you cannot keep secrets from. Mm-hmm. And if the child's young, it could be just mom and dad, maybe sibling, right? As the child gets older, it might be a grandparent, uncle. But you have to establish a circle of trust. The second item is topics that should be for only family only. What are topics that nobody can talk to you about unless you're talking about it with your circle of trust? What are the topics?
Mm-hmm.
Number three, rehearse responses with your child. Again, the child's younger, it's more important to rehearse with them. So if they're in a situation where a school counselor or someone's talking about gender and sexuality and all these things, very easy. I do not give consent to talk to you about this. Call my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I do not feel safe with you. I feel harassed right now. Those are shutdown words.
Mm-hmm.
You got to rehearse it with your child so they can protect themselves. Last but not least, don't avoid. A lot of parents avoid these, you know, especially the transgender topics and the race topics. Don't avoid it. Let you be the first person to introduce it to your child so that you get to establish that narrative, not someone else.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's very good advice, too. And, you know, what age would you suggest? Because the thing is, a lot of this is being introduced to kids as young as preschool and kindergarten. And yet, you know, a lot of parents feel that, my goodness, my children are so young, they're confused. I actually have a parent at our school whose son attended kindergarten at a different school. And he had a boy in his class who wanted to be a girl, or maybe it was the other way around. And this child was insisting that they be able to use the bathroom of the opposite sex. And that's confusing to these kindergartners. And, you know, the boy ended up asking their mother, why do boys and girls have to have separate bathrooms? And, you know, so she ended up having to have this conversation, but in a way it was probably good that she did. But how far can you even go with kids of this age? They have a hard, they don't even understand sexuality to begin with. They're still learning what it means to be a boy and a girl.
I know. And this is a hard question to answer because there's no good answer. The answer is if they're young enough to be brainwashed, they're young enough to be talked about.
Yeah.
And that has to come from you.
Mm, mm.
And so if you can't pull them, then the sad reality is kindergarten. That's the answer.
Oh,
because you need to hear, they need to hear it from you first. Don't let someone else plant that flag in their mind, in their growing mind. I know, listen, I got kids. I know. I don't want to talk to them about this stuff either. But unless you pull them, unless they're homeschooled, even the homeschooled, you know, my kids are homeschooled. I still talk to them about it, you know, because it's everywhere. And
because
I want to
everywhere.
Be their voice first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Make sure you're the flag that gets planted, not them.
Yeah. Very, very difficult. We have just, you know, about a half a minute here left, and I'd like it if you would once again maybe give some of these phrases very quickly that you said children can use to teach your children to respond. I don't feel safe with you is one. What were a couple other ones?
I do not feel safe with you. You are making this a hostile environment for me. I do not give consent to talk to you about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
I do not give my consent.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this is sexual harassment. This is harassment.
Mm-hmm. And then please call my parents. I love that at the
end. Always please call my parents. That's your child defense.
Yep. And that's them.
If they can't remember anything else, please call my parents.
Yep. Please call my parents. Such good advice. I hope our listeners will take a look at your website at Courage is a Habit and follow us again next week where we have Alvin Louie back on with us to continue this important conversation. Have a great night.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.